And we're back with another awesome episode of Extra Credit, where we take some time out of our busy week to go ahead and set aside all of our more nuanced and crazy conversation for something a little bit more casual, something to slip into to feel a little bit more comfortable.
Shall okay, we? Well, I don't know what this is turning into, but I'm not a fan of it.
I am your host, Eddie Van Weven. Alongside me is Spencer Williams.
Yep, I'm here today.
And we are the Filmlosophers. You can catch our main episodes that drop every Wednesday, and new episode debuts at the AM of midnight. And you can check it out on our website at filmlosophers.com. You can also check us out on all our streaming platforms at iTunes, Google Play, Libsyn, Player FM, Stitcher, Audio Boom,
Pandora.
Spotify. I was getting there. Stop rushing me. And Pandora.
All right.
Good yeah, job. I think that about covers that. Not to mention, did I say the filmlosophers.com website?
Yes, you did.
Okay, because we also have a website with over 180-something episodes. One of them being Spencer taking his first foray into hosting. I believe that was less than 185. This is your episode. What episode is it?
You know, it's a number, and it's as important as all the other episodes.
Well, there's an episode out there, if you guys get the chance, where Spencer actually takes the helm, and he is at the driver's seat of the show, hosting, talking about his favorite franchise, Back to the Future. So check that out.
So as you can imagine, it's a bit of a train wreck.
It is not a bit of a train wreck. It is fun. It is entertaining. It is a good episode. Shush.
Okay.
So I say all that to say, this episode, we're going to be talking about something that's kind of a continuation of last week's Extra Credit. And we're going to try to, like we said, this is Halloween month. This is October. So we're going to try to drop a Extra Credit episode every Friday for the month of October. And this episode is just a continuation of that overall conversation of Spencer and his grinchiness for Halloween.
Again,
and
not
his
grinchiness.
His hatred of horror movies. Now, if you don't know, or if you haven't listened to the last Extra Credit episode, Spencer is not a fan of horror film. He's just never been. He thinks they're ridiculous and dumb, and apparently equates them to 11-year-olds, and because he says all 11-year-olds are dumb. and if you don't believe me, you can check that out in the episode less than 185, 186. 187. Maybe I should pull up the website, shall I?
Yeah, maybe you should know what number you're referencing.
Shush, you don't know what you're talking about.
I know, but I'm not pulling up numbers.
Hey, it doesn't matter. So Back to the Future was 184. I was close. And then the extra credit with the Halloween Grinch and horror movies is is less than 187. Which that's actually the title of the episode.
Well, of course it is. Of course it is.
So back from lesson 187, the extra credit episodes, you'll remember that Spencer does not enjoy horror films. It is not his favorite type of film. He has such an interesting time with it. So needless to say, I forced him to sit down and watch some horror movies.
Yep.
Now, during the course of this time, we'll get into those particular types of movies, but during the course of this time, we did come to learn something interesting about Spencer, and that is Spencer has no clue what a horror film is.
Okay, it's not that I don't think I have a clue. I think I just made a dividing line of if this is a good horror film, it's something that's not horror. If it's a bad horror film, it's just a horror film.
So he's ultimately saying that if he watched the film and he actually had a good time, this couldn't be a horror film is what he's saying. This could not be that. So
yeah, no, that's it. That's it.
Which is horrible because it's like, okay, well, don't give credit where credit is due. Whatever. I don't care. You're not my dad. but so we were talking and we came to realize Spencer doesn't know the true definition of what a horror. Well, he doesn't know what the true definition of the horror genre altogether is. So we're going to talk about this because it's kind of disconcerting for the fact that this whole entire time he's told me, I don't like horror movies. Horror movies are the worst. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, I knew what blah, I meant blah, blah, when blah, I said blah, that.
Blah. I had to do the whole vampire thing. It's Halloween. What do you say? So, defining the genre. So, Spencer, do you have any clue what the definition of the horror genre is?
Let's see.
I'm just going to take that as a no.
I could come up with one.
Sure, you could.
It's okay. It's probably a movie that has like a lot of jump scares in it, and you know, someone's trying to kill someone. There you go.
Well, that is probably the most general of terms of how to, you know, define the genre. However, okay, according to Webster's Dictionary,
Webster's,
horror is a genre of fiction whose purpose is to create feelings of fear, dread, repulsion, and terror in the audience. So ultimately, it creates an atmosphere of horror. The film itself creates this mindset of you being concerned and fearful and scared for your life.
Okay, but like, there's been non-horror genre movies where I'm like, I'm worried about this person. Are they going to be okay and make it through?
I mean, if you're talking about like You've Got Mail or something, no. I mean, no, obviously that's not a horror film. But we're talking about movies like we were talking. So in the midst of our conversation, we were talking and you said you've seen Event Horizon.
Yeah, it's a great sci-fi movie.
No, is that just a sci-fi? Spencer. So if you're not sure about what Event Horizon is, Event Horizon was this film in the late 90s with Lawrence Fishburne and Sam Neill. It is, as IMDb defines it, a horror sci-fi thriller.
Since when have they been an authority on anything?
I'm sorry. The International Movie Database, or the Internet Movie Database. Practically international, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say they're a pretty good authority. And I asked you, I said, because I know you like sci-fi films.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so let's take a look at some sci-fi horror films. And I said, have you ever seen Event Horizon? Because Event Horizon is a great film. And you're like, oh, yeah, I saw that. And I'm like, okay, so you've seen it. Do you know it's a horror film? No, it's not a horror film. It's a sci-fi movie. It's a horror film, Spencer.
But, you know, it's a sci-fi movie because it takes place on a spaceship in space.
Okay, 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 okay. So apparently we need to understand, like, the hierarchy of, like, when you categorize something. So if you've ever spent any time in science or biology, you know that there's a genus, and then there's a subcategory, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth. So at the very top...
You know, what's interesting is I was real bad at that classification.
I believe that. I really do. At the very top is horror. So you have horror.
Well, why is that one at the top?
Because that's the main overall.
But it's in space.
Yes. So the next line down, it's a horror film, and then it's a sci-fi horror. And then it's a sci-fi horror thriller. You're making this way more than it really has to be. Like, in all sincerity... Event Horizon is a horror film. What did you think of Event Horizon?
Well, it's been a while since I've seen it.
Oh, my Lord Jesus. This is not what you said the other night.
I said I saw it. I didn't say I saw it recently.
What did you think of it?
I thought it was good.
That's not what you said. We should have conferred before the episode. That's not what you said. You said it was a really good movie. You said you really liked
it. Yeah, really good. I thought it was good.
You said you liked it.
Yes.
Say it.
I like this movie.
Just say because I'm trying to get this across to people
understand.
Who listen that
the same thing.
This entire time where you said, I don't like horror movies. I've never seen a horror movie in my life. They're ridiculous and dumb and predictable and blah blah blah.
I never saw one in my life.
How would I know I didn't like it if I never saw Event Horizon and I'm supposed to just take it at face value that like, okay, I'm not gonna ask about this. Of course I'm gonna ask about this.
Yeah.
I'm asking.
Like that.
So you liked it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is where we get into a little bit of the muddiness of it all.
Mm.
I need to know what other films should have been classified as horror that you've seen, that you actually liked, that you removed the horror classification.
I wouldn't know because I removed the horror classification. I would need to look at a list of horror movies and be like, oh, this is in this list.
So then I think it's safe to admit that you can easily claim that you may actually like horror movies You just have changed the classification to suit your needs. Can we say that's a true statement?
Probably.
Not. There's no probably in this. I need a definite answer here, buddy.
All right, maybe.
Okay, great. So with that, I actually forced Spencer, and I say forced because I put it on and I said, this is what we're watching. I had him, forced him, you know, eyes clamped open and everything, whole Clockwork Orange style.
Yeah, that's definitely what
and had him watch two horror movies this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these horror movies are actually some of my favorite horror films, and they're usually part of the repertoire that I watch or rewatch during the month of October, and that is 2003's Identity,
mm-hmm.
by the illustrious James Mangold. So if you're not familiar with who James Mangold is, he's the individual who did the Wolverine movie as well as the more popular Logan film. Mm. Incredible work. Wonderful director for those who are listening. Identity is essentially where a story of stranded at a desolate Nevada motel during a nasty rainstorm. 10 strangers become acquainted with each other when they realize that they're being killed off one by one. The idea of that film is really unique, and it was really fun at the time when it came out, and it still is for me personally. I like the whole idea of like the psychological thriller, the horror aspect of it all. Spencer, what did you think of Identity?
Oh, I love this movie.
You did?
Yeah, and like it goes back to like your previous question of like which ones you miscategorize, because like halfway through it, like I figured out I had seen this before, and I remember liking it the first time. But it's also one of those movies I wouldn't have classified as a horror movie at the time either.
It's a psychological horror, essentially. Going back to, let's go back to the definition. The definition is a film or a work of fiction whose purpose is to create feelings of fear, dread, repulsion, and terror, mm-hmm. in the audience. So I'd say terror, fear, repulsion were all very key, you know, indicators for this particular film,
yeah,
wouldn't you say?
I would classify this as like a psychological thriller type movie.
There were things that
I like how you just stopped for a second.
It's like, because it's like we're trying to create a bridge here for you to understand that you're wrong. You've been so wrong for all these years. For all I've known you, you've always said, oh, I don't do horror movies. They're just not for me. I've known you for like 10 years now.
Yeah.
And
it's been a while.
And it seems like every year we go through this every October. And it's like, Spencer, we should see a horror movie. We should see this. Oh, I don't do horror movies. I don't like horror movies. Oh, okay. Spencer, we should go see a horror movie. Oh, I don't do horror movies. I don't like horror movies. Spencer, we should go see. I don't do those movies. It wasn't until I brought you into the show and we started. I started having you come with us to go see movies like It and other things that I've actually, I don't remember you mentioning you seeing a horror film prior to the podcast. So now that I'm realizing that you've been lying to me for 10 years.
If you think you're correct.
I'm upset. I am pickles. I am to the moon and back, like wondering, what else have you been lying to me about, Spencer? No, I'm just kidding.
Not lying if you think you're correct about what you're saying.
So this is good. This is actually a good development. This is a really good development because this means that, number one, you're wrong. Number two, we're able to look at everything that you've seen and reevaluate some of those aspects of movies that, like I said, you've classified as non, which should be classified as such. And Identity is one of the first films that I remember actually giving me that opportunity to be wowed, I guess, so to speak, because you come to this grand conclusion in the film that, and honestly, it's been, what, over 15 years. If you haven't seen the movie, I'm not going to really worry about spoilers, because if you haven't seen the movie, it was 2003. Identity, essentially, you come to find out the whole motel situation is happening in the mindset of a death row inmate who is literally hours before his execution and gets one last sit down with the judge to prove that he has DID, which, do you remember what DID stands for?
What was it? Dissociative Identity Disorder.
Good job, man.
Yeah.
Bully for you. so you take that and you realize that every person that has that weird connection in the motel, they're actually all identities that are in this guy's head, and he's trying to remove all the bad ones, or at least the ones that he thinks is the one that caused the heinous crime that has him on death row at that particular time. So it's a really great premise. It's a really great plot story. Great performers. You had Ray Liotta, Jake Busey, John Cusack, Amanda Peet, Alfred Molina's in it. You know, what's that guy's name? The dude that was on Scrubs. John C. McGinley?
Yeah, because I wanted to say John Mulaney, but that's not right.
No, no. John Mulaney's he's a comedian. John Hawks. I mean, you have a lot of people, including the guy Pruitt Taylor Vince, who's the guy who plays the inmate, death row guy. So this film has a lot of great performers, mm-hmm. And performances. It's just a really fun film to follow, and you find yourself even... Did you expect the ending? Like, did you know the ending was going to happen that way?
Yes, but only because I remembered it.
Yeah, and that's another thing. See, this is where we're also going to be hitting those couple of those snags, because we were halfway into the film, and I could have swore you looked like you were sold out for this film, and I'm like, oh, he's enjoying it. And then halfway through the film in a lull, I'm like, Spence, what do you think? He's like, I go, because it looks like you're totally engrossed, and you're like, oh, yeah, well, it's only because... I think I've seen this film before. And I'm like, Spence, seriously.
But it was a good one. I'd still want to sit through it again. It's not like, oh, I've seen this before. Let's go watch something else.
So what were some of the feelings you had when you were watching this film?
Strong feelings of deja vu.
Well, it's not terror or dread that I was hoping for, but sure.
No, but part of it was remembering specific plot points and then trying to piece together the movie before the movie got there. So
you're trying to remember the film before you actually got to the ending of it?
Yeah.
Cheater. Okay. But overall, how did you feel at the end of the film?
Oh, it was good. It was a really good experience. It was well put together. I don't think I've ever seen a movie with that level of storytelling before. Well, I have. It's this movie. But I haven't seen anything like that since. Where the movie will rewind and teach you how someone got to the point they were at, and we'll do that multiple times in a row, which is kind of crazy, but also really an intriguing way to tell a movie.
Yeah. Well, and that's what you get from a director like James Mangold, whom we all know already, who did movies such as The Wolverine and Logan, but also has done other stuff like Walk the Line. And, obviously Identity, but even Girl Interrupted. Those are all really great films from James Mangold. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of any of those?
I've heard of them, yes. I've never seen them.
You've never seen them at all?
No.
You've never seen Walk the Line?
No.
You've never seen Girl Interrupted?
No.
What about 310 to Yuma or Night and Day?
No.
Night and Day? Tom no. Cruise? No? No.
I saw the Logan movie.
I don't know what I'm going to do with you, Spencer. But yeah, so you take somebody who's great at storytelling,
mm-hmm.
and obviously has a keen eye for cinematography and is able to really visually get stunning shots, which this film has stunning shots in it, with the whole rainy aesthetic and it being stormy and this whole motel looking so derelict and everything. It's great. It's a really great vision of a film.
Mm-hmm.
So giving props to where props are due. James Mangold, you are awesome. But that wasn't the only film we saw this past week.
It is not, no.
We actually saw another film that is a keen favorite of mine throughout any season, whether if it's during Halloween or out of Halloween, and that is 2007's Trick or Treat. Now, I have to ask, because I totally forgot whether or not if you said so or not, but had you seen that film prior to?
No.
Thank God. Okay, so obviously Trick or Treat's the film in 2007, directed by Michael Dougherty, stars Anna Paquin, Brian Cox, Dylan Baker, a whole mess of them. Essentially, it's five interwoven stories that all happen on one Halloween evening, and it's really cool. I like it because it always reminds me of it's always indicative of the Halloween spirit. It always has a lot of that mindset for all the crazy things that can happen on a Halloween evening. You're frowning your brow.
It's like, what are you talking about? What is the Halloween mindset?
having fun, dressing up, the hijinks and everything, and obviously like the storytelling, like this, the you've never had anybody sit by a campfire and tell you scary stories, or you've never had an older family member or somebody you know, try to scare you with a horror story.
No, I come from a very different family.
Bad from you.
Why?
Like I grew up, like honestly, I grew up with family members telling me like things about like La Llorona and the boogeyman in the closets and the things under our beds. And I even had a cousin one time, and I still to this day I don't even know if it's real or not, because I think he was making it up. But he used to talk about the Chiquita lady, and I think he might have just been looking at a banana peel, because I think he was talking about the Chiquita bananas. I don't know. Either way, there is a level of there's a level of lore to this particular movie that adds to, I don't know, just this sense of storytelling and this sense of like the idea of people telling stories on Halloween night. And you had never seen it prior.
Right.
So this film, like I said, is one of my favorites. What did you think of this film?
This one was good. Especially since...
Wait, hold on. I didn't hear you. Can you repeat that one more time? This film was what?
I said it was awful and I wish I'd never saw it.
Okay, we're going to end this right now.
No, it was a good movie. Because this one also, kind of like Identity, had like a unique storytelling style. Yeah. Where like you said, they were interwoven, but like when you're in someone else's story, you can still see people from other stories walking by on their way to whatever the heck they're going to do. So it was kind of interesting, like just seeing like jumping back and forth in time slightly to tell some of the stories, and then seeing people like line up to where they should have been type stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and I think this is really a film that took a lot of people by surprise, because you take Michael Dougherty, who prior to this, I the only reason why I know of the name is because as of late, he's the one who did the Godzilla movies. I don't know if you've seen any of those.
Yeah, we reviewed the one on the podcast.
Well, I'm just asking. I don't know.
I was there.
Were you?
Godzilla,
really?
King of Monsters.
But he also is... prior to that, he was more of a writer. He didn't really do directing. Mm-hmm. And so, like, he did the screenplay for, like, Superman Returns and one of the Urban Legends movies and X-Men 2. Not the bad one.
Oh, okay. That's good.
So he did. He's written a lot, but in terms of directing, you know, this was essentially his first foray into directing big screen films.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, at the time, no one really knew of Michael Dougherty prior to this, and when it came to this film coming out, everybody was just like, "Oh, this is cool! Like this is like Crash meets Halloween Night." In all honesty, like you've seen Crash. Right?
I've seen none of those movies.
Oh my gosh! Crash was like, seriously, okay. Well, I'm not worried about that because we're talking about horror movies. But essentially, like this movie has all these different elements, all surrounding the one night of Halloween, and it just really epitomizes, in my opinion, like the mindsets of creating like horror tales on a night like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always been one of my favorite films. Even watching it out of season, that's why I actually own the film rather than just like, oh, let's just rent it for this time so Spence can watch it. I actually own it. So I've always just enjoyed the dynamic of like Brian Cox and his story to Anna Paquin and her story, which I'm pretty sure nobody has actually said that about Anna Paquin. Like, I love that one movie with Anna Paquin.
So cruel.
I try. And just the overall aesthetic of the film, it's really fun. And it's really interesting. Dylan Baker, who plays the principal, is like really... That whole twist in it was really interesting.
That principal had a night. And it was just long and ridiculous.
Well, I think that's quite the understatement of the year. So yeah, you have to admit, like it's a fun film to watch during the Halloween season. Would you say that would be an accurate statement?
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, it would be a fun film to watch during the Halloween season.
Okay, so I got it recorded, so we're going to watch it again next year. I'm just going to reappear with that episode and be like,
nope. Expand your horizons and watch new Halloween movies and then be disappointed at
there
how...
aren't any.
What? Like, we saw Halloween. That came out.
Yeah, I mean, it's it is. I mean...
Wait, why are you being all... Nah, nah, nah. What's
hey, we're not talking about me here. We're talking about
we're
you.
No, we're going to talk about this film. Why is that not like, oh, this is a good Halloween movie?
Because it's not the original Halloween.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Fair, but like... You know how hard it is to stand up to your original?
Very hard, but then you take things like, oh, I don't know, Back to the Future.
Yeah, but that's back when people had talent.
Wow. All right, well, so we got some more movies on the docket for this week, and we're going to have Spencer watch those ones this week as well. So far, Spencer, the two films that we've seen so far, how many monocles out of five?
Oh, Identity gets 5 out of 5.
Like, ooh.
Super good. Like, I really liked it.
Okay.
Trick or Treat. It's a hard one. I'm bouncing between a 4 and a 5 right now. Because what I really liked about Trick or Treat was it wasn't predictable, like super predictable. Like, I totally thought during some of the stories, I'm like, oh, that person's totally going to die. And they didn't. You know what? I'll give that one a 5 too. I was really impressed with it.
So from what I'm understanding, you're giving two horror films that I've suggested to you a 5 out of 5.
I guess so.
Okay. Well,
are you happy, Eddie?
I am very happy, actually. So we're going to actually take that, and we're going to keep running with it. I'm going to have him see two more horror films this week. We'll talk about it at the end of the week. And I'm actually proud of myself. Hey, I picked two movies so far that you will actually... Now, I'm not sure...
You're just going to keep running into movies I've already seen before.
Yeah, that's where my issue is, because it's like, I don't want... So here's the problem with Spencer. If I give him enough notice, he's probably going to look up the film and find out everything about it before he goes into...
I'm
going to
look it up and be like, have I seen this movie?
Well, that's why I'm not going to tell you, but then
it was wild watching Identity. Like, that was just, like, there was the movie, and that was great, but then there was a whole other thing of, like, me trying to remember where and why I've seen this. Like, I'm pretty sure it just came on TV, and I just started watching it. It was amazing.
Well, we're going to really have to figure this out, because I'm going to have to figure out a system to kind of buckle you down and get just the idea of certain films and see if they sound familiar without actually you going so deep into knowing the title and being like, oh, yeah, I've seen this one already, blah, blah, blah. So,
well,
I got to be hyper...
Well, not to pick Event Horizon.
Well, yeah, duh, that's already on the docket. Like, that's not going to happen.
We should watch Event Horizon again.
No. But, yeah, so far we're you know, we're batting 1,000. And that's good. So I'm excited. Which, by the way, when you say batting 1,000, that means you're hitting it all home runs. So
why is it 1,000 and not 100?
Because the batting, like your batting average, ranges
is out of 1,000.
It's just a phrase. Don't make this something more than it is.
I'm just saying. Usually, you want to say like I'm batting at 100%. So that's why it makes more sense to use 100 versus 1,000.
No. Okay.
I don't do sports either.
I can see that. I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm actually looking it up. In baseball, to get a hit every time one is at bat, resulting in a batting average of 1,000. The slugger is still batting 1,000 after a record 8 at-bats by extension to... Oh, that's just... So, yeah, the batting average just works out at 1,000.
Huh. Seems weird, but okay.
I don't know. I'm just telling you.
Okay. I'm listening.
Well, either way, we got work to do, so we're going to go ahead and wrap this up, and we got some great stuff in store. So, Spencer, take it away.
You have been listening to Extra Credit with the Filmosophers, and we will see you next time.
That'll do.